You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45pm with Gordon Brown, Gareth Topham and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Good day to look forward to at Pontefract. Their card includes a Fillies listed race in the shape of the Pippalong Stakes. It's also the King Richard III handicap on that card. We've got Wolverhampton alongside that in the afternoon, Brighton in Newtoxter in the evening, and racing over in Ireland from Roscommon. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Lord John Budden. Hi, John.
I'm in very good shape, Mark. Much looking forward to all the sport this week.
Yes, good week of sport, good week of racing. We've got the July Cup, the July meeting coming up at Newmarket very shortly. We're going to have a little bit of a glance towards few of the big races there, using the questions in the Racing Post's Monday jury, and then we'll get stuck into Tuesday's action. So Monday jury time, John. How do you rate the three-year-olds now in the wake of the Eclipse?
Well, I don't think there was much conclusive evidence from the Eclipse, Mark. It was a pretty messy race in the first couple of furlongs. Seb Sanders, who's ridden in that contest many times, was very critical of the tactics and the riding by jockeys in that first two furlongs. And Cliffs of Moher absolutely murdered during that time and really had very little chance afterwards. Eminent 2 was just mucked about a bit early on, and so in the end it turned into a something of a dramatic one-to-one head-to-head inside the last couple of furlongs, and one has to say the Ulysses was very determined. He deserved to win, Ulysses. He is a four-year-old, of course, but remember last season he was at one stage very highly fancied for the Derby, didn't run up to form, but he's been knocking at the door and this was his day, and we mustn't underrate Ulysses. But I did think Barney Roy ran remarkably well, considering that he too was very keen early on, had to be switched a number of times, and ran on very strongly. There was no evidence that he wouldn't stay, and his performance, I think, sort of shows that the three-year-olds actually ran perfectly well up to scratch, certainly Barney Roy.
So that leads on to the next question then, John. Which horse from the Eclipse are you most excited about for the rest of the season? I'm guessing it would be Barney Roy.
Well, it has to be Barney Roy, yes. It'll be interesting to see what they do. I would have thought the Champion Stakes could be on the agenda, and the other big races as well. He settled much better, actually, although he was rather jostled about in the early stages and perhaps still a bit too keen. So he will come on for the race. And the great news about Barney Roy, Mark, is that he is going to remain with us in training next year.
Yeah, always nice when they stay on as four-year-olds and don't get retired to the breeding game. How high can Sandown Speedball Batash fly, John? Obviously very impressive at Sandown. Set a course record, didn't he, on that occasion? So can he mix it with the likes of the proper Group 1 horse in the Nunthorpe and such later on in the season?
He could be vulnerable, in my opinion, Mark. He had all the advantages, two really serious advantages at Sandown. First of all, it was drawn nicely against the rails, which makes a tremendous difference at Sandown, particularly if you get off to a good start, as Batash did. Secondly, I think he looks to be a horse who revels in quick ground, and it was quick at Sandown, but we mustn't take things away from him. He was very impressive. He beat the course record, as you say, and showed a tremendous amount of speed. And it will remain to be seen whether he can match the major players in that sprinting world. I think they're very strong in sprinters, and it is possible that, he will blow himself up inside the last half furlong.
OK. Next question is about the July Cup, John. Is it all about Caravaggio? Well, news today with the five-day stage passing. All the big guns have stayed in. Caravaggio heads the market at even money. Harry Angel 5-1, Limato 5-1, 6-1 the Tin Man, 8-1 for Taz Leet, 12-1 Brando, and 25-1 bar those. Looks like a real great renewal of the race, John. Is it all about Caravaggio?
It's a tremendous race. No, I hope in a way it's not all about Caravaggio. He did win remarkably well at Ascot. There's no question about that. He's a class horse, and connections at Coolmore suggest that he really is something extra, extra special. In which case, if he is, he's going to win the July Cup. I was with Harry Angel at Ascot in the same race, Kingstown. Actually, I thought Harry Angel ran very well and was staying on nicely at the end, and he could be better suited to Newmarket, so he's definitely in there with a chance. Ground, I think, is absolutely crucial for the July Cup, Mark. It looks as though the weather's going to be good. If it dries out nicely, and it can dry out quite quickly at Newmarket, however much they water the course, and I hope they won't water the course too much. If it is quick ground, Limato could go very well. He loves Newmarket, he likes the firm ground, and he didn't run at all bad the last time out. And we're delighted, at least I'm delighted, that Harry Bentley is back in the saddle. Yeah. I think it was grossly unlucky that he lost the ride, and clearly the horse goes well for him. And Harry Bentley himself has been riding really well in the last fortnight. And then we've got the Tin Man as well. I just fancy the Tin Man is an Ascot specialist and just might find something a bit too quick. Caravaggio, yeah, could easily win, probably should win, but I should be shouting for both Harry Angel and, if it's really fast, for Limato.
Okay, both of them currently 5-1 chances in the market against even money favourite Caravaggio in the July Cup. We'll move on to that in more detail later on in the week, of course, as we get through the July meeting. Give us another fancy for Newmarket's July Festival, or when you're looking forward to long term, John. So, nice open question there.
Yeah, it's a very sort of difficult question, that, really, because so many factors are ground, the way that the horses are drawn sometimes as well. But basically, I shall be looking for fancied horses from David O'Meara's stable. I think that yard is bouncing into form, and if he has anything at all of his sort of leading group running at Newmarket, I shall be going for David O'Meara and Danny Tudhope.
Final question of the Monday jury then, John. Is Enable a good thing for the Irish Oaks?
Yes, on the surface it looks as though he is, Mark. She is, rather. Enable has done everything which you could possibly want to at this stage of the season. Was a good winner of the Cheshire Oaks, excellent winner of our Oaks. I think will be suited by the ground in Ireland, and there's absolutely no reason why she shouldn't win. Having said that, of course, we're not absolutely certain of the makeup of the field at this moment, and it'll be interesting to see what the home brigade actually run. But on form at the moment, it'll be slightly surprising and rather frustrating if Enable is beaten.
Yes, you're right. It's quite hard when we don't know the final field. I think the final forfeit stage is Tuesday, so we'll have a bit of a clearer picture, perhaps. Then that's the Monday jury for another week. Then thank you very much, John. Let's concentrate on matters a little closer to hand. Though we got to have a look at Tuesday's action, and we'll get John's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right then, on to Tuesday, we're going to look at three races at Pontefract and one from Brighton. Good day at Pontefract as well, John. And the first race on their card is the 210, which is the Diane Nursery. It's over 6 furlongs, a class 4 event, and we've got a field of 7 set to go to post here. Only the second nursery of the season as well, so the two-year-old programme really starts to kick in from here. John, who'd you like for the 210?
Awful how quick your time's going, isn't it, Mark? Really, the second nursery already, one feels that the autumn is almost with us. This is tricky. A bit of a minefield. How can you say that when they're in his seven runners? I hear listeners, growling. But actually, we've got Collingham Park to begin with, for example. Now, ran perfectly well in his last two outings, Collingham Park. Second to Mr. Wagwu, I think, last time out. Now, the vital thing about Collingham Park is he's trained by Jed O'Keefe, who can, at the moment, do no wrong. It's almost as though he's training horses on a magic carpet. They're running so well. Can't go on forever, though. But nevertheless, Jed O'Keefe often has winners at Pontefract anyhow. After that, Shaheen. John Quinn, what do we think about Shaheen? Have you any ideas about him?
He's shown progress in each of his three starts. Got off the mark last time in a novice race. He's got potential, hasn't he, John? It's one of those early season nurseries. Well-bred as well. Powerful owners. You could see further in progress, but...
I think he's got a definite chance. There is no doubt. That's why I say the race is a minefield, because Collingham Park and Shaheen both have got major chances. It's a perfectly good novice stakes winner at Redcar last time out. And John Quinn's horse is going well. Mm-hmm. He likes to give them a fortnight to 3 weeks between races. I think it's 17 days since Shaheen ran last. And then we have Mick Shannon, Another Day of Sun. Now, Mick Shannon's a very difficult trainer to follow, particularly when he sends horses to north. But Another Day of Sun has got sort of up and down. Was a winner two outings ago, a good winner, and he beat Mr. Wagwu, who is the one who was second, Collingwood Park was second to 6-6 at Salisbury last time out. But... Sylvester D'Souza is back on board, and we don't need reminding that, in fact, Sylvester has an extremely good record when teaming up with Mick Shannon. So that's a possibility. And then finally, we've got the Love Doctor, David Evans, running here at Pontefract in a nursery. Dangerous suggestion, this, I think. And Danny Tuthope in the saddle. And Danny Tuthope rode the Love Doctor at York in that very valuable cellar, the Rouse cellar, when he was second. And it's interesting that David Evans has decided to go for a nursery quickly with the Love Doctor. I think the Love Doctor will go at a reasonable price, and I think he's got a sporting chance. I'll go for the Love Doctor.
The Love Doctor, then, the selection for Lord Budden in the 210 at Pontefract. Onto the next race that we look at, which is Pontefract's feature contest. It's the 310, and this is the Pipalong Stakes, a fillies listed event over a mile, £40,000 added to the prize fund here, and just short $23,000 to the winner. Eight runners go to post here, John. I suppose it's quite hard as well, this race, isn't it? It's not the easiest puzzle to solve.
No, it isn't. It's not a complete minefield, but it's quite tricky to solve. Pipalong was a wonderful horse, of course, and the Easterbys did tremendously well with Pipalong, and it's great that the name is remembered. David O'Mara's got two horses in this race, starting off with Colty Kaelin. I don't think Colty Kaelin is quite up to winning this. And the other David O'Mara horse is, in fact, Lucky Lincoln Rocks, who's been doing quite well up north. I don't think, again, that Lincoln Rocks has been actually coping with horses of this calibre. So, for once, I'm putting a pencil through the two horses trained by David O'Mara, which is probably very dangerous indeed. We have a number of others in the race. Crowning Glory, for example, Rafe Beckett has definitely got a biggish chance on overall form. Ran extremely decently when fifth in the Princess Elizabeth Stakes at Epsom, for example. And certainly that suggests that Crowning Glory is up to the level of this race. And then we have Dawn of Hope.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think about Dawn of Hope, Mark?
Well, I think it's interesting that Roger Varian has sent her all the way up to Pontefract. She's been running in better races than this, finished behind Kemar last time in the Duke of Cambridge Stakes. That's obviously a Group 2 contest. This is a bit of a drop in grade, isn't it? And it's interesting that he's sending her such a long way to try and win a race of this nature.
Yes, I think so too. And Andrea Azzini in the saddle, of course, riding awfully well at the moment, as he always does. As you might remark, the Duke of Cambridge is a high-class event, really, for this sort of contest at Ponte, and ran quite well in the group race before that. So Dawn of Hope has got to go well. The fly in the ointment might be permission from the James Fanshawe yard. James Fanshawe's horse is running extremely well. And this horse was second at Ascot two outings ago and not beaten all that far in the Nottingham Oaks. So it has a chance. But I'm going to go for Dawn of Hope.
Dawn of Hope, then, the selection for Lord Budden there in the 3.10 at Pontefract. The last race we look at on their card is the 3.40. It's the King Richard III handicap, a Class 3 event over 6 furlongs. Got a field of 11 set to go to post for this one, John. And we'll start with Ribeiro, the top weight here, trained by Mick Easterby. Sylvester D'Souza in the saddle. Obviously has the form to get involved here, but would you be worried about that draw in 11?
It's got to have a big chance, I think, Ribeiro. But as you say, the draw is dicey. I mean, there will be some people who say, don't touch it. 11 of 11 at Pontefract on the outside, absolutely hopeless. I don't think it is, in fact, a very sort of plus factor at all, drawn 11. There have been results, haven't there, recently, where outside draws at Pontefract have not been quite the disaster that they were. But I still think that if it's a true run race, then 11 out of 11 is difficult.
Yeah.
Ribeiro himself is also tricky. Was quite well beaten at Newcastle last time out, but before that had won a big handicap at Ascot, 20 runner would do. So with Sylvester riding, you know, at the top of his form, it is possible that Ribeiro will come out quickly, Sylvester will manage to get him across into a reasonable position, and Ribeiro will flash up the hill and score. So anyone who supports Ribeiro, I certainly wouldn't go, you know, really against that particular individual. Marjorie Five, Scott Courier in the race. She's quite consistent. Occasionally springs a surprise, but I thought that the form had been a bit disappointing recently. Then we have Richard Whittaker's horse, Avon Breeze. Now, Richard has a good record at Ponte. His horses haven't been absolutely out of top draw this season, but they run quite well recently. And Avon Breeze, he likes Pontefract, and is a course and distance winner last time out. I think it's got, you know, a biggish chance, Avon Breeze. Eve Johnston Horton in great shape at the moment, and Cool Bahamian might well go very close here. Unusual for Eve to be sending horses up for a race of this nature at Ponte, and Cool Bahamian is itself a Windsor specialist, has run well at Windsor in the last couple of outings. Outside draws again for two at the bottom of the handicap, who might have a squeak. Russian Realm, for example, Robert Winston riding, and also at the bottom, Michal, who has been running consistently well. But I think it's between Avon Breeze and Cool Bahamian with Ribeiro the dark horse, but I'm going to go for Avon Breeze to win again at Ponte.
Avon Breeze then to defy the penalty for that recent success at Pontefract and follow up in the 3.40. The final race we look at is at Brighton. It's the 7.15 there, a mile and a half in front of the runners here, and we've got a field of 6 set to go to post. John, I suppose one of the obvious starting points here would be Wapping, given that he arrives here chasing the hat-trick.
Yes, and Wapping is the winner here at Brighton. Won quite nicely last time out. I think been raised about a couple of pounds. So, you know, there's no reason why Wapping shouldn't go well. Won a 3-runner race at Brighton before that. So Wapping's got a biggest chance of going for the hat-trick and could easily win this race. Cape Discovery, I think, has got to improve quite a bit. Was 11th of 11 last time out in a better race, admittedly, but still last at Newmarket. General Hazard is a bit of a tricky question mark. Again, last of last at Carlisle, believe it or not, 14th of 14. But if you go back, a really good winner on the old weather. I don't think the turf, though, is particularly good for General Hazard. So we then get down by process of elimination to a couple more. New World. World Power, for example, has run reasonably, respectably for David Simcock. On the last occasion, it was second of five at Thirsk, and David Simcock is really good at placing horses. But if Wapping's going to be beaten, then I think it's going to be by Luca Cumani's runner here, Pasharana, or Pasharana, perhaps we call it, Pasharana. And Luca's, again, very expert at placing. A winner at Lingfield fairly recently, and also a fourth of six at Newmarket in quite a well-contested fillies handicap. I think it's between Wapping and Pasharana, and I'm inclined to go for Pasharana.
OK, Pasharana, the selection for Lord Budden then in that final race. We'll look at the 7:15 at Brighton. As usual, John, a little bit of a quick summary before you go. Just confirm your selections for us then for Tuesday.
Yeah, 2:10 to Ponte we go, first of all, the second nursery of the season. And we're going for the Love Doctor in that contest. Off to Ponte again for the 3:10, the Pipperlong Stakes. And Dawn of Hope will be the choice to show a touch of class. In the 3:40, the Richard III. Third Stakes, Avon Breeze is a selection, and at Brighton in the 7:15, Pasharana for Luca Cumani.
Superb, thank you very much, Sean. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thank you very much, Mark. I will.
There you go. The thoughts of Lord John Budden then on Tuesday's action. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:45 p.m. with Gordon Brown, Gareth Topham and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Pontefract and Wolverhampton in the afternoon. Brighton and Newtoxeter in the evening on the domestic front. And there's action over in Ireland as well from Roscommon. So a good day. Plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast. And enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.